Your mercy, your grace. Oh, we thank you so much for it. Just reach out right now and you can receive your healing. Whatever you need in your body, you can receive it right now. You need to be in tune with the Spirit. Just focus on Him. Doesn't matter what your neighbor is doing. Doesn't matter what your neighbor wore. It doesn't matter. Don't be distracted. The enemy wants you to be distracted. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Keep your eyes focused on Him, because when you sing, then an anointing will flow. But if you sing it from your mind, there will be no anointing to it at all. It'll be a noisy gong. You'll get nothing out of it at all. But if you sing it from your spirit and you sing it to Him, that anointing will flow. And you'll get everything out of the praise and worship that you can get out of it. That's healing. That's prosperity. That's everything that you can think of. Everything. Every one of His names that He represents. That's what you'll receive. That's the reason why you cannot be distracted. You just focus on Him. Focus on Him. As you focus on Him, you'll be prepared for what the Holy Spirit has shown to the person that's going to be teaching today. And you'll be in tune. And you'll hear from the Spirit. And when you hear from the Spirit will tell you what to do. Those burdens will be broken through that anointing. But the enemy doesn't want you to have those burdens broken. He wants you to keep those burdens. So that way you stay focused on that and not on Jesus. But if you stay focused on Jesus, everything that the Holy Spirit wants you to receive today, everything that the shepherd, Tony, will be teaching today, you'll receive. Because there's a reason for you being here today. It's not by coincidence. He prayed. And he listened to the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking through him. And he knows exactly what his sheep needs. And if you keep your eyes focused, you'll receive that. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus, so much. Worship you, Jesus. We love you so much, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We just worship you here. Thank you, Jesus.
Is that on? Okay. Ecclesiastes 2:26. The Lord just changed my offering message. So, oh, we're coming from the Amplified Classic, the original Amplified. Can you hear me now? Okay, we're coming from the Amplified Bible today, most of it. Okay, Ecclesiastes 2:26. It's Ecclesiastes 2:26. Anyway, it says this, to the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. We need joy in these last days. You know, when you lose your joy, you turn yourself over to torment, to be tormented. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and heaping up that he may give to the one who pleases God. And so, if your life is pleasing God, well, then the money that Bill Gates has, George Soros has, Warren Buffett has, all these people that have sown their money into wrong things is coming to their church to spread the gospel in these last days. So when you sow, you're sowing into it says when you, Luke, I think it's Luke 6:38. It says, give gifts and gifts. Gifts and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over. Will they pour in your bosom with the bosom of the robe and used by bag? For with the measure you deal out for the measure you use when you confer benefits on others. It will be measured back to you. When you excuse me, when you're sowing into this ministry, you're sowing lives of those that are here and those that are coming in. And you're sowing into the vision Pastor Jackie has. So you're in total agreement when you sow your finances. And so as we sow today, sow with the purpose of sowing in the lives of others, not just yourself. We talk about houses and all that stuff. That's fine. He wants you to have all that. But the main reason why you sow is for lives. Bring fish, you know, fish, be fishers of men. That's what we're supposed to do. And when bringing the fish in, they have to be cleaned. You got to disciple people. You just can't get converts. So as you sow this morning, you're sowing in for a purpose. So you can sow into other lives of other people that are here and those are coming in. Amen. Okay, go ahead and pass out the envelopes. Let's put that thing that we declared creation up there. As we receive today's offering, we're thanking God, thank the Lord for jobs, better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessing and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, winning inventions and ideas, wise investments, divine favor. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we may have more than enough to give the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about right there. Amen. Amen. So be it. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful day. It's a day that you may rejoice in. Father, we know that we experience your mercy and your grace, and we can gather together and spend time with you and listen to what you have to say from your Father, get lips to Jesus by the Holy Ghost through me to the people. So I yield myself to you to be used today, Father God, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that each person, there's a responsibility to let that word have its home in of its riches, that they allow it in there. Because that way, when they allow it in there, they're able to be trained up to help other people. And so, Father, we thank you, Father God, that each and every person's here came to hear and listen to what you have to say. And we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. But understand this, that in last days there will become set in perilous times of great distress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people be lovers of self, utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by inordinate, greedy desires for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous, boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing and disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy and profane. They will be without natural human affection. You know what that is? Callous and inhuman, relentless and admitting of no truce and appeasement. They will be slanderers and false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasure and vain muses, for more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. There's a warning there. Anybody comes with a different gospel than what's being preached here, get away from them. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured, spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with the burden of their sins, and easily swayed and led astray, led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but never able to arrive at recognition and knowledge of the truth. There's many, many people, women that I'm not, I'm just claiming women, but there's many of them that watch a lot of TV. And there's a lot of programs on there that are polluting their minds. And Oprah Winfrey is one of them. When she first went off television, she had over 300,000 women that were tuning into her website. And she's got a guru. And so she would say, she teach them that it's okay. You can be a god to yourself. You don't need him. You've got everything you need inside yourself. So reach inside yourself and live out of here. But they're not born again. But see, there's also Christian women that are weak, and they've fallen for that. And they're saying, "Oh man, I heard one Christian lady say, 'Oh wow, now I know why I'm really here to live within myself.'" To live for myself. See, that's false. But people are falling for that kind of stuff. You know, with the internet and all kinds of stuff going on. So turn with me to Romans 1:18. And probably go to probably the 32nd verse. For God, holy wrath, indignation are revealed from the heavens against all ungodliness and righteousness of men, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth, make it inoperative. For that which is sown was known about God is evident to them, made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his internal power and divinity, have been intelligibly and clear, discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. Just think, Abraham found God through the stars, right? Because they knew and recognized him. Because when they knew and recognized God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking with vain imaginings, foolish and reasonings, and stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they were simpletons of themselves. By them, in the glory and majesty and excellent of the immortal God were exchanged for and presented by images. And just read the Old Testament. Everybody, there's always false gods. Images made of wood and gold. But Baal was one of the big ones. And if you read the Old Testament, many people served the god of Baal, even Israelites. They even sacrificed their children to Baal. And that's what's going on with abortion today. The real big is not about women's rights. It's about sacrificing those babies to Baal. That's what it's all about. Freemasonry is all about, if you go to 35 degree, whatever it is, Bob Dole was a 35 or whatever it was, and their god is Baal, and they know it. And when they have funerals, it's actually a religion, and they do their own rituals to Baal. And many people in our government right now are into Baal worship. That's why they're for abortion. Yeah, the main reason. So it says here, and therefore God gave them up in the lust of their own hearts to sexual impurity, to this honor of honoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Then it's amen, so be it. Amen means so be it. So we're supposed to amen and so be that. Agree with it. That's what he's saying. For this reason, God gave them up over, abandoned them to vile affections, degrading passions, for their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. And the men who also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out and consumed with lust for one another, men committing shameful acts with men, suffering in their own bodies, AIDS and all kinds of stuff. Mentally, too. Many of them are committing suicide. Suffering in their own bodies and personalities and the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. So since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things that not proper, deceased, but loathsome, until they were filled, permeated, and saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, covetous, greed, and malice. They were full of envy and jealous, murder, strife, deceit, and treachery, ill will, and cruel ways. They were secret backbiters and gossipers, slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, and boastful, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents. They were without understanding, consciousness, and faithless, heartless, and loveless, and merciless. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such thing deserve to die, that they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. Isn't that horrible? That's what's going on right now. Turn with now to Matthew 24. And that would be 24:4. I'll read down to at least 14. Jesus answered them, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you into error. Many will come in on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, 'I'm the Christ, the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray." I remember this happened back when Phil Donahue was on TV. They were saying, there was a guy who said, "I'm a prophet. Jesus," and they said, "Well, where's Jesus at?" He goes, "Well, he's over in the Middle East, but I'm the Holy Spirit, and I'm here." See, this stuff has been going on for a long time. You just don't hear about it. And they will hear of wars. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." And right now, you've got Russia and on the border of Ukraine. You've got China threatening to take Taiwan. You've got Israel and Iran. Iran's threatening to come against Israel. So all these things are going on. China is actually in South America now, and they want to take over that area so that they can come in and get you surround the United States, take the United States. And the problem is the administration we have is dumbing down our army. And the reason why is because, first of all, Obama is a Muslim, so he hates Christians, and he wants us to be a Muslim nation. And so that's all these refugees are coming over here for a reason, is to infiltrate the United States. And but the thing about it is that the Lord told me that, yeah, but if these people, refugees, were in their own country, they're talking about over a billion souls saved before Jesus comes. That's a lot of people. You know what? People say a billion, but it's over a billion. Well, God has told me, he said, many of these refugees are coming over here are Muslim in all different kinds of countries. Haiti's, they're in satanic worship. But the thing about it is, he said, if they were in their own nation, they would probably end up in hell. But because they're here, they're going to hear the gospel. And a great awakening is happening. They're going to call up the great awakening. And they're going to be part of the billion souls that's saved. Isn't that awesome? So we don't get worried or fret out what the news is saying about all these people coming in. Just think that God is going to use the church to spread the good news. And these people are going to get saved. Amen? Okay, where's that here? So, they're talking about wars and rumors, or kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. There's earthquakes all over the place. All over the place. You're not even hear about them all. I don't know how many is a day, but it's just an unbelievable amount. We don't have to be afraid of earthquakes. I mean, we live in Nebraska, and there's a fault line running through here, too. But you know what? We don't live in fear. I know Nancy Dufresne and all of them living out in California said California's going to fall in the ocean. Well, you think she's worried? No. You think Pastor Jackie and all of them are worried about falling in the ocean while they're out there? No. You think they're afraid of an earthquake? No. They're out there having a good time. They will hand you over, it says in 9th verse. That's it. 8th verse. And all this is but the beginning of the earthly pains, of the birth pangs, of the intolerable anguish. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation, put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We know that the nations are lining up for one world government, but, you know, I wouldn't worry about it now because it's too early. Because God's got our plans, and as I read on a little bit further, you're going to realize that Satan's overplaying his hand right now. And trying to get the church into fear.
That's right.
But it says there's already Christians that are being persecuted all over the world.
Yeah.
But see, just because they say Christians doesn't mean they're really born again Christians. So we lump all these Christian people that are not Muslim as Catholics or whatever they are, whatever religion they are. If they're not a Muslim, then you lump them as all Christians. So not everybody's a Christian just because they say they're Christians. May be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him. Who's him? Him. They ought to trust and obey and will stumble and fall away, betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Churches against churches.
Yeah.
Christians against Christians. It's been going on for quite a while now. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. But he who endures the end will be saved. I know that there's a separation right now between the goats and the sheep. Those that are really Christians and those who are not. There's a separation between the goat churches and the goats and the sheep churches. And so you got to realize that there is a division line coming. It says, where's that? There's 4,000 churches closed in 2020. 20,000 pastors quit and gave up. And that's just But they quit. They just quit. Gave up ministry. Gave up on God. 50% of pastors said they would quit if they could find another way to make a living. That's bad. That means they're hirelings. They're not really pastors. They were doing it for hire. I'm thankful our pastors never gave up at times when we seemed like we were struggling. Struggling, but they never quit, never gave up. And they're not going to give up. But he's trying to tell you, do not you give up. Be careful what you're listening to out there. And then it goes on to say, here, so But he who endures the end will be saved. And the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of the gospel will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's when the end will come. Revelation 3, after Revelation 3, the church is out of here. So what you read after Revelation 3, we're out of here. And so all that stuff, hell is going to break off all over the world. But we're not in the tribulation like some people are preaching. We're not in the tribulation. Where there's troubled times. But see, Satan's trying to overplay his hands. Because he hears what the prophets say. He hears about the Great Awakening in the United States. He hears about revival in the United States. He hears about a Great Awakening all over the world. And so what he's doing is he's trying to stop it by overplaying his hand and try to bring the tribulation in early. But he's overplaying his hand. It's not going to work. God already established it. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 43:13. It's amazing how God turns things around and has me jump ahead a little bit. Isaiah 43:13. Yes, from the time of the first existing day, and from this day forth, I am he. There was no one who could deliver out of my hand. I will work. Who can hinder or reverse it? Devil can't hinder or reverse God's plan. He can't hinder God planned for the United States. You know, people say, well, United States is not in the Bible. Yes, it is. JRUSALEM. We're woven with Israel. We're one with Israel. And the administration we have right now is turning back on Israel. But we had a president there who stood with Israel, moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He caused the enemies of Israel to do business with Israel, and Israel was making all this money. Now we got an administration that are trying to boycott Israel to break their economy. And right now they're having an attack of the vaccine. I mean the virus again. This time they're shutting all the way down. They're trying to shut their economy down. That's what the devil wants. Destroy Israel. Because his main goal is to take the throne in Israel and Jerusalem and sit on God's throne. That's what he wants. That's his greatest conquer, is to destroy Israel, and he can sit and take God's place on that throne. It's not going to happen. God's already planned it. He already told us he's going to sit in the New Jerusalem. Amen? So, you're in this church for a reason. And the Lord told me a week ago last Sunday that he mentioned the word Epic Center. I had no idea what Epic Center was. I remember a pastor we had in my first church when I got born again. He mentioned Epic Center back in the early 90s. But I had no idea what Epic Center was until I was back to the usher and we were praying and he said, Epic Center. I go, what is that? So I'm sitting over there, excuse me, but the Lord had me check up the definition of Epic Center while I was sitting there. And it's Epic Center is a central focus point over an earthquake. Right? So it says, Lord, Living Word, and then he told me, Living Word has been chosen to be an epic center, a central focal point over a great shaking, a great awakening, a great move of the Holy Spirit in this city, the area, and this region. So if you're here, you're part of it. You're part of it. Amen? You're here for a reason. It's to be part of the epic center. Amen? Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 41, verse 10, and then 13 and 14. I know that when I ministered one time when I mentioned this scripture, it says in the 14th verse about you worm. I remember you start laughing when I talked about your worm, but we're not worms. He was talking to somebody else about that. Isaiah 41:10 says this. Fear not, for there's nothing to fear. So can you have a little bit of fear? No. There's no reason to fear. If you know the truth will make you free. There was fear, fear not, for there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do look around you and terror, be dismayed or discouraged. I'm Lord God, I'm strengthening hard difficulties, I'm helping you. I'm retaining you, keeping you with my victorious hand of righteousness and justice. Now the 13th verse. I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. See, right hand means strength. But see, it's not his hand. He's got your right hand. For I, Lord your God, hold your right hand. I'm the Lord who says to you, fear not, I'm helping you. Fear not, you said a worm. Fear not, for I will help you, says the Lord. I'm your Redeemer, Holy One of Israel. He redeemed you from this stuff that's going on. So you can sum it up like this. Fear not, there's nothing to fear, for not is he with me, but he's helping me. His right hand, holding my right hand, walking above the chaos of this world. When I'm under circumstances, I'm walking above it.
Yes. Amen.
Walking above this chaos of this world, walking above the penises and the viruses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we're walking above it.
Amen.
That's why you need to say Psalm 91 over there, because that's your protection. And if you need to, look up the words in a dictionary and then know what they mean. It's okay to look them up in the dictionary.
Right.
Because it'll make it stand out. Oh, wow, that's what that means. So, yeah, do Psalm 91, but make sure you look up the definitions in a dictionary and then write them down so when you pray it, you know what you're praying about.
Yeah.
But see, his right hand's got your right hand. You're walking above. Remember when Peter saw Jesus walk from the water, and I identified who he was. And Peter said, when he found out it was Jesus, he said, I bid me to come. He said, come. When he followed the instructions, he was able to get out of the boat and do the impossible. He walked upon the water. But what happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? He got into fear and started sinking. But when he cried out, the Lord raised him up, and they walked back to the boat together. Was under Jesus' foot, under Peter's feet. And so it says in Psalm 34, 17, I won't turn there, but it says, when the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them and helps them, delivers from all their stress, all their troubles. So it's the same thing. When he cried out, Jesus saved him. When we cry out, he will save you too.
Amen?
Amen? He's not going to let you go under.
No.
He didn't, I'll teach you a lesson, to Peter. No, he raised him up, and they were saved. What's under Jesus' feet is under your feet, because it said in Ephesians, what's under his feet is under your feet. You're not under circumstances. You're not under all this trouble that's going on in the world. You don't have to fear, be afraid of what's going on. You're hearing on the news. Don't listen to that stuff. Turn with me to Isaiah 32, verse 17 and 18. Some of these are what I say every day. 33, 17, and 18. The effect of righteousness, your righteousness, will be peace. Internal in here. And external out here. In other words, I don't have to be afraid to go to Walmart. I don't be afraid of getting too close to somebody who's got the virus. The effect of my righteousness is peace, internal and external. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. Walking above it, remember? And the result of your righteousness, right standing with God, is quietness, comfort, trust forever. Yeah, it's forever. I'll go ahead and do the 18 verse. I want to go to Jeremiah, but it says, my people shall, or your dwelling, in a peaceful habitation, safe dwelling, quiet resting places. Why? Because you're in the shell of the Almighty, whose power no foe can stand. Psalm 91:1. You're in the shadow of the Almighty. You're not in the shadow of death. Shadow of death is a spirit of fear in Psalm 23, trying to get you into fear. It has no substance to it whatsoever. But if you step in that fear, you step in that shadow, you gave substance to fear. Now you're in trouble. But you're in the shadow of the Almighty. Don't step into it. Rebuke that fear spirit. Get rid of it immediately. He says, fear not, there's nothing to fear. So you don't have to fear. It's meant to God resist the devil and he has to flee. Remember? Okay, turn with me to Jeremiah 17:7. Most blessed is the man who believes in. Now, believing just him means to know about. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of other Bibles, when they talk about believe, they just throw believe out there. So, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Well, I'm saved. No, but there's a difference between believing and actually receiving him. It says, most blessed is the man who believes in, who trusts in, relies on the Lord. That's what a believer is. Not somebody who calls himself a Christian. That's why when they say Christians are dying all over the world, you don't know if they're really Christians or not. I mean, there are martyrs for Christ. There are. But I know that when Stephen was stoned, he never fell a single rock. I've been preaching that for a long time back there. Stephen was in the spirit. He never felt a single thing. Well, I didn't know that Jesse Duplantis actually talked to him in heaven. I asked him if he felt anything. He said, no, it was in the spirit. Amen. So most blessed the man who believes in, trusts in, relies on the Lord, whose hope, expectancy, you got to mix faith with expectancy. When God said light be, he fed light by faith and expected to happen. Faith and expectancy. And because he said it in faith and expect to happen, the word Jesus and the Holy Spirit caused light to come out of darkness. But when you put your faith with hope, expectancy, what God says, then you're going to have it. The problem is we hope we get lucky, and so we misrepresent, understand what hope means. It means the expectancy, not getting lucky. The world calls hope getting lucky. You're not getting lucky. No. So it says, for you there says, and confidence the Lord is. So you're going to have confidence in the Lord. For you shall be like a tree planted with water that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when he comes. Doesn't matter what's going on out there. When he's coming your way, who cares? But its leaves shall be green and shall be not anxious and full of care in the day of year of drought, nor shall ye cease yielding fruit. When you do this, you're not going to stop yielding fruit in the earth. You're going to bear fruit for the Lord. One thing I wanted to say, now we're not coming against people that got the vaccine, but you got to understand that this vaccine mandate thing is another way of Satan trying to overplay his hand. He's trying to bring the mark of the beast early, but it can't happen. It cannot happen till later. After the church is out of here. So if they got the vaccine mandate, next thing they will be put a chip in your hand. And they're already doing it in some nations already. Right here. That's why you need to pray for the Supreme Court right now, because Friday they argued it out and they haven't made the decision yet. But see, it's against the constitutional right. They can't force you to do that. But see, a lot of soldiers have lost their jobs. Special Forces, 200,000 of them, just got protected by a judge. But see, when they do this, then they come around and go to another judge and try to go around it. So this is dumbing down our forces so that China can step in here and take control. That's what Biden wants, his administration wants. They want Chinese rule, socialist, communistic rule. And China's starting to move all over the world to take over the world. It's not going to happen. So no devil, no one, No devil can take your life. Only you can do it by not doing what God says. We have to come to know that, trust in God, that faith works by love. For God is love, right? And perfect love chase all fear. So you don't have to be fearful of anything. It says in Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts all traces of fear, all terror, a fear of judgment. You know, in other words, you're going to make peace with God, know that you're right with Him. He's going to take care of you. The devil wants to make you think that you're not right. He's there always to kind of accuse you when you do something that's not right. We're covered by grace. And if you miss the mark, He's going to let you know if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So we got to come to trust God that what He says is true. And so we want to hit a few scriptures that says God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. Some of these we won't even turn to, I don't think, because we. Titus 2. Titus is in the New Testament before Hebrews. It talks about resting. Resting in the hope, expectancy of eternal life. Life which the ever truthful God, who cannot deceive, and promised before the world of ages of time began. He promised you everlasting life. Amen. And I know that I don't have this down, but Hebrews 9, I think it's 12, says that Jesus went in the Holy of Holies of heaven. By virtue of the blood of animals, of goats and calves, by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but by His own blood, He established a complete everlasting redemption for you. Now and forever, you've been redeemed. You're not going to be redeemed. You have been redeemed. The complete redemption is when you get to heaven, but you have it right now. Eternal, it's right here. It's given to you right through the blood of Jesus. How many's born again here? Huh? Nobody's born again? Well, then why didn't you raise your hand? You got complete redemption. It's forever settled. It's established. Can never change. Amen. Do I have to come out there and raise your hand for you? Numbers 23:19. Well, let's go to Hebrews while we're here. Hebrews 6:18. This is led by two unchangeable things, His promise is an oath, in which it's possible for God to ever prove false or deceive us. We have fled, to Him we have refuge, mighty enduring strength and strong encouragement to grasp, hold fast the hope expected to pour to us and set before us. He's letting you know that you can trust Him. 2 Timothy 2:13, don't turn there, but it says this. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He's a faithful God. He can't deny Himself. 1 Samuel 15:29, don't turn there, but it says this. Also the glory of Israel will not lie or regret, for He is not a man that He should have regret. He didn't regret choosing Israel. He didn't regret choosing you. He's never had regret about you. He never wished He'd ever called you, told you. No matter what you do, He loves you. No matter what you do wrong, He's there. I found that out in 2014 and 15. Turn with me to Numbers 23:19. That glass is rattling. God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither son of man that he should feel repentance and compunction for what he has promised. Has he not said it? Shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? So everything he's said, he's making it good. He cannot lie. Now we're going to go to just a few scriptures here. It talks about Psalm 119:89. Psalm 119:89. I'm trying to get to us at the ending point here. It says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, stands firm as the heavens." So his word's been established, can never change. Don't turn there, but Hebrews 13:8 says this. Jesus Christ, Messiah, is always the same. Yesterday, today, yes, and forever, to the ages. Or another verse says he's changeless for all eternity. Never changes. Now he wants us to turn to 2 Corinthians 1:17 to 21. Second Corinthians 1:17 to 21. This thing makes noise. Now, because I changed my original plan, was I being unstable? And capricious, this is Paul. Or what I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, like a worldly man, ready to say yes and yes when it really means no? You know, my dad, when his kids would say, "Can we go to the beach? He said, "Maybe." He never said yes or no. So we hope all day long to go to the beach, and then when the evening came, we knew that he didn't tell us the truth, and we were upset with him. God's not that way. And surely as God is trustworthy and faithful means what he says, our speech and message to you have not been yes and might mean no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by myself, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him is always the divine yes. For as many are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen. So be it. And if you look at all the letters, except for, I think, James, and there's another one or two, that did not say, Paul did not say, amen, so be it at the end. But there were some of them where he said it two times. He'd say yes and amen when he said something in the letter. And then he would say something a little bit more, and then he said yes and amen. So always said, yes, amen, so be it, because he was agreeing with what he's sharing with you, what God gave him to say. But see, when pastor's preaching, we need to say yes and amen. We need to, because when you're saying yes and amen, you're receiving what's being spoken. And you're allowing in there as seed, and it's going to bear fruit eventually. Otherwise, it just sits up here and does nothing. You got to be agreement with it. And so Paul was into that where he said yes, yes and amen. Amen, yes and so be it all the time. And even in, I think, with the Gospels, there's one or two of them that says, yes and amen. Yes and so be it. So we need to agree with the Word of God, yes and amen to you. Okay? For as many are the promise, 21st, many as the promise of God, they all find their yes, answering him, Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so to be it. To God through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. But I'll just go ahead and 20 verse first. But it's to God. It is God who confirms and makes us steadfast, establishes in joint fellowship. Fellowship means partnership, one with Christ. Unity with Him. Oneness with Him. God created, anointed us, enduring us. We're now with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God has consecrated us and made us holy and established it in Him. He's not going to turn you away just because you blow it. So Romans 3:3, don't turn it, but said, if some did not believe, and we were are without faith, does that lack? Is there a lack of faith in their faithlessness nullify and make an ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and fidelity to His word? By no means let a man be let God be true and every man a liar. So we got to believe what God says, not what people say. Amen. You're going to hear a lot of false gospel out there, but you're going to have to be careful. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, you're supposed to test the spirits. It's your job to test the spirit whether it's right or wrong. You got to check me, make sure my spirit's right.
Right.
It says in, don't turn it, but it says, we know that Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, here comes the word of God. The more you hear the word, the more faith you're going to come into. Because it says in Galatians 3:7, don't turn there, but it says, no one understands that it is really the people who live by faith who are true sons of Abraham. And so 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith with trust, holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. And Pastor always says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, possibly please God. You can't please God without faith. But you're able to please Him because you know Him. Therefore, you're going to be in faith with Him. That's what it's trying to say. You're not trying to have faith out of works. You believe Him because you really believe Him. Amen. Because we know that Romans 12:3, He gave us all a measure of faith. And it also says, I'm going to give a lot of scripture, but it's in Romans 12:1-2 says, goes on the fact that you got to renew your mind. Right? You got to renew your mind to what he wants. And then it goes on in Ephesians 4:22-24 says, you got to renew the spirit of your mind. So you put off the old man, put on the new man. If you don't renew the spirit of your mind, you can't live the righteous man that you are.
Amen.
Right? So you're going to have to renew your mind. That's where people run in trouble. There's young Christians that come in here that I minister to them, and they're having trouble by trusting God, but they won't renew their mind. So it's the same old, same old. Okay, now we're going to get Matthew 20:16. You can put that one up there, but there's two of them that says the same thing. Matthew 20:16, you can put up there, but Matthew 22:14 says the same thing. It says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many people have been chosen and called, but they've not answered the call. You're sitting here today because you answered the call. But are you going to stay here? Are you going to stay? Or are you going to not take the word seriously and do what God says and get into fear of what's going on and walk away from God? You know, there's people that want, one person says to me, he said, he sent on a text. I asked God for $1 million, He didn't give it to me. Oh boy. Well, do you tithe or give you offerings? No, well. If you can't handle your little bit of check that you get every month, how can you handle $1 million? You can't. John 15:16, you can turn there. I'm trying to get to a point here. Yeah, 15:16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. So everyone in this room has been chosen. I appointed you. He's appointed you. I planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit, that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide, so that whatever you ask or what you decree and declare, what his word says. In my name, as presumed that I am, he may give it to you. Amen? Okay, go to Ephesians 1, 4 through 8. Even as in his love, he chose us, actually picked us up for himself as the owning Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, set apart from himself, blameless in his sight, even approached for him in love. He foreordained for us, destined, planned for us to be in love, be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, the course, purposes, and will, because it pleased him with his kind intent, so that we might be to the praise and the combination of his gracious favor mercy, which he did. We saw free, but 7:11. In him, we have redemption. You could say complete redemption, complete deliverance, lost sin, death, and the curse, sick disease, whatever it is, complete salvation. Remember, your pastors talk about what salvation means: safety, preservation, protection, healing your body, soul, and mind. Through his blood, the complete remission, complete forgiveness of all your offenses or trespasses. You can see all my iniquities in accordance with riches of generous grief and favor. Amen. You have that now. Yeah. See, a lot of us are living, the devil wants to condemn us all the time, make us feel like we're not worthy, not good enough. That's not how God sees you. It says in Colossians 1:22, he sees you holy, false, approachable. That's how he sees you. So you're here for purpose because he planted you here on earth to bear fruit. And a fruit, so a seed, when it's planted, has to die before it can live. Randy knows that the seed has to die, has to crack open, then the life comes out of it. But it's the soil that's planted in. And so God knew, God had a plan for your purpose when you were born. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He planted you here to bear fruit. And so when you were born in the physical, he was excited. Because he knows that every human being that's planted here has a future in him. And so he's a respected father, hoping this may be one of my boys, one of my girls that's gonna have a relationship with me. So most people, they're planted on this earth, but they never bear fruit, so their seeds not germinating. I planted a flower seeds before, and they didn't come up for 2 or 3 years later. You know, but they didn't germinate because the soil wasn't right. But see, your soil was right. And now you're God's property. He's your father now. But now he wants to father you. And so that's why when you were born again, he was so thrilled because you were planted here as a seed, and now you're going to bear fruit for him, because now you're born again of the corruptible seed of God, this by forever. The same seed that Jesus was born of, you're born of. It's the same incorruptible seed. And you're everything, Father, Jesus is. He's the Son, you are a son. He is the anointed one, you are anointed one. He is the Christ, you are Christ. You're little Christ. Everything he is, you are. And he loves you. As John 17:23, he loves you as much as loved Jesus. He loves you as much as loved Jesus. When I first read that, I thought that could be a misprint. But no, he does. He loves you just as much as loved Jesus. You're everything, Father, that Jesus is. And then the 26th verse says that you may feel or sense his love in your heart. So this is how we've got to have a relationship with him. And so Jeremiah 29 says this. Don't turn there, but it says, there's a whole bunch of them, but the Amplified says, well, God knows the plans they have, your plans for welfare and well-being, and for peace, not for evil. There's different versions, not for trouble, not disaster, not torment, not abandonment, and not for evil, but to give you hope and a good expected outcome. That, so if you look up different versions, you'll get all different kinds, abandonment, torment, all that stuff. He didn't put you on this earth to go through any of that. So he had, Ephesians 2.10 says he that, we'll do this one. It says Ephesians 2.10, we're right there in the area. For we are God's own hand, his workmanship. We've been created of Christ. He's born into it. May you do those good works, which are predestined, planned before us, taking paths, which are prepared of time, that we should walk and live a good life, which prays right for us to live. He's got a good plan for your life. And so Satan, because of lack of knowledge, we're trying to get something that was already ours. In other words, we were born here and born again, but healing should have been ours right away. Right? But because of lack of knowledge, we're trying to get something that's already ours. Healing is already your bread. So we're distracted trying to get our healing when we already have our healing. We're distracted trying to be like Christ when we are like Christ. We're trying to be righteous when we are righteous. We're trying to be justified when we're already justified. We're trying to be holy when we're already holy. All that other stuff, when you're trying, is a bunch of works. And it's distraction from the real truth that I have right standing with God right now. And so you've been planning this house for a reason. This church. And Ephesians 3:20, since you're in the area, says this. Now God is trying to tell you you need to have visions. Amen. Now to him about the consequence of the action power as work with you right now, to have a curious purpose in your life. Do super abundantly, far over, above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely calculated. Think about that. He's infinitely huge and infinitely small. Big and small. It covers everything. Beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So get ready. Get ready from now on to have dreams and visions. Prophetic words over your life. See, God is faithful to his... He said, write the vision down, right? Habakkuk 2:2-4. Write the vision down. Surely come about on the right time. When it's ready. But he said, write the vision down. But surely come to pass. So whatever God gives you as dreams and visions and prophetic words over life, write those visions, dreams, and prophetic words down. Because they mean something. You may not understand it right away. But everything has prophetic reason. Yeah. And many people have dreams, and they've had dreams and visions, and they had no idea what they were, so they just spaced it off. They had no idea what their dream, a vision, or prophetic word spoke in their life was about. God's faithful. He's faithful to your faithfulness. If you're faithful, if you know that he's faithful, then you and him, you're trusting him to cause it to happen, to bring it about. You're walking, living in faithfulness to his faithfulness, because he's a faithful God. If he gave you dreams and vision, prophetic words, he's not a man that he should lie. There's a reason for it. Amen? Everyone sitting in this room has a calling as a local church, but also as an individual. Right? But you'll never fulfill it if you don't trust God with your whole life. Never. Proverbs 29:18 says in Amplified. A If you look up the different versions in the Bible, different Bibles, you get a great, you know, what 2918 means. It's just amazing how different Bibles say what it is. I don't know if I got any of them here, but yeah, I do. No, I don't. Well, anyway, the Amplified says, page is that on? Where there's no vision, no redemptive revelation, understanding of your redemption, of redemptive relation to God, the people perish. But he who keeps the word of the Lord, which includes that a man, blessed, happy, enviable is he. I wish I could find that. But see, here are some. Passion says this, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. I may want bliss in heaven. The message says that put God in charge of your work, then what you planned will take place. All the ways of man. That's different. Anyway, I'm not going to do any more. Anyway, all of them, they'll say something different. You just check them all out. And it's amazing. If you got a phone and you got internet or however you can get on Bible Gateway, sometimes on your phone, they cut out the Amplified Classic and just had the Amplified, which cuts a lot of words out, just like the New King James and Old King James. And so it simplifies it down where the Classic has parentheses and tells you what words mean. So it helps you, like when I first got born again, it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. I knew that it says Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. I knew that he was in me then, therefore I was anointed. So the Amplified Classic really, really defines words. That's why it's more words. I know Joyce Meyer says it's a woman's Bible because it has more words. But it's for a reason because many people don't have concordances, and so they have no idea what the words mean. So if you get on your phone, I had to go on the internet and put in Amplified Classic, APMC, and once I got on it, then eventually it put the app back on my phone as Amplified Classic instead of the regular Amplified. But once you put it on your phone on Texas, if you go on the internet and get it, you put it on your Texas, then you always have it. Then you can go in and check all the different versions of the Bibles there. But it cuts out the Amplified Classic, so it doesn't have it because they're not printing it anymore. You can't even buy it anymore unless you buy it in used bookstores. Amen. So everybody has a plan of purpose in this place. And you're not sitting here just to occupy a seat. That's right. You're here to get involved. Because God has a plan and purpose for all of us. And it says that we're being trained up here. So we've gotten built up Christ by the church. That's why we have the fivefold ministry in here. Just read Ephesians chapter 4. That's why the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, the fivefold ministries are here. That's because we got to be trained up so we can go out and build up Christ by the church, that we can build up the church. It's our job to go out and bring the fish in. And he's going to use maybe, like he said, Peter, take a rod and go fishing and catch one fish. Or take nets and go out there and catch a boatload of fish. But they have to have places where they can be clean, like I said before. So this is an epic center for that. Where you guys are part of the great awakening in this area. So take serious what pastor's saying. Let that word have it home in your heart so you can do what God wants you to do. Instead of occupying a seat. Because people, if you don't do that, you get deceived. And you don't let that word into your heart, well, then what happens is you're listening to this, you're listening to that, You listen to this, you listen to Fox, even Fox and even Newsmax. Sometimes there's not a whole lot of truth in Newsmax anymore. They're compromising like everybody else. So you're not getting the full truth. And so, you know, check with a Victory Channel and FacePoint. What is that? Flashpoint. And now Victory News comes right on after that. But check those out. Get the real truth. Because otherwise you're going to get deceived in those last days. And you get into fear, you lose everything. Amen? I better quit. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being listeners. You pull it out of a person. You know, when Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, she was pulling it out of Jesus. Martha was too busy. If Martha would have done what Mary did, Jesus would have helped her. Right? And it would have done it the easy way, the quick way. Maybe Jesus had a microwave out in his whatever. Anyway, but the dinner would have been faster and would probably taste better too, because she was bitter and angry. So don't get mad and bitter at another believer here. Make sure you forgive them right away. Okay? Don't go to bed angry because you sleep with the devil all night, and then you wake up some morning and you have got cancer. You wonder why? Well, you slept with the enemy because you went to bed angry and mad and unforgiveness. Amen. Yes, be quick. Okay, that's it. That's it.
You guys have all been so good with me, and you know my big story from last time. And I just wanted to share something with you real quick, because I know everybody's been praying for me, and it had to have worked. Remember I was telling you about how we were having troubles with her grandfather, not wanting to do things for us, not kind of pushing her aside, things were happening. And I was getting all stressed out about it and stuff. So I kept trying to teach myself and my daughter, put it all in God's hands, leave it in God's hands, don't even worry about it. And every time I'd have a negative thought going into my head, I started singing this little phrase of My Lighthouse from that song, My Lighthouse. Every time I get a negative phrase, I would just go, my lighthouse, and try and get those negatives out. So anyway, I just put it all into God's hands. I didn't think about it. In fact, I even got to where I forgot about it. I'm sitting at Chevelle's karate class, and I get a bang on my door, and I looked over, and it was her grandpa. And he handed me a folder, and in the folder was two death certificates. We've been trying to get the death certificates to take care of stuff. A check for $1,000 from her dad's account. Some other stuff that he gave us for her. We got the pickup, her dad's pickup. It's now legally hers. So my kid, 15 years old, has two pickups now. So anyway, I wanted to share with you guys, because you have to put things into God's hands and let him work it. And I get very impatient, and I'd be like, Lord, you know. So it's like, I just gave it all over to him. And I wanted to share it with you guys, because I know it was so stressful and so hard and so bad. And you guys have been a part of my life. You guys have brought me into this church. You've welcomed us into this church. You've made us, for the first time in my life, I am fully blessed. I have not been this blessed in a long time. And so I wanted to share with you guys, I love every one of you. I know your prayers helped get us the things that we needed. And just don't give up. And kind of like you said, just keep having that faith. Don't give up. Keep it going, you know. Keep the negative thoughts away. Leave God in control, and it will work. So I just want to let you know the good news. Things are working out, and that's all I wanted to share. So, thank you.
Rubber meets the road. Are you going to trust God or not? I tried to find rubber meets the road in the Bible, but I didn't find it. So. Maybe it's in another version somewhere. If we ever find it, though, we got to give it to Pastor Jackie. As a gift. Father, bless the people as they go their separate ways. We plead the blood over them wherever they go. And then the shall the Almighty, Father God. And Father, we thank you that they're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far, far above. Therefore, they're not in the world, but they're of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. Therefore, they're only spectators. They're inaccessible. In the secret place most high as it was over wicked. And therefore, no plague, infectious diseases, coronavirus, Delta virus, any cold, any flu, anything, any pest that sucks in darkness, like it says in Psalm 91, can never dwell in. We're free of all calamity in Jesus' name. And we commission angels to come and defend everybody as they go their way, aiding their protection in Jesus' name.